Welcome to the January 30th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Earl Irwin. We end our month-long exploration of living with intention by considering what might happen if we intentionally risk making mistakes. What might it mean for us to abandon striving for perfection and not only accept, but celebrate imperfection in ourselves and in others?
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. On the native lands of the Tutelo and Monacan people, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Earl Irwin, and I'm pleased to be serving as today's worship associate with Rev. Pam. If you are with us for the first time, we're glad that you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitor's card in the chat or to a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary that someone will collect during the opening hymn. There are many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Check out the calendar on our website for times, locations, Zoom links, and contact information. And thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make these activities possible.
One of our LFD team members usually comes up and tells us what the children are doing this week, but she is home with three sick little kids. So we hope that you're feeling better, all of you Catlett children, and hope your parents have patience and stay well. Today in RE, the pre-K will learn about our first principle while reading the book Chrysanthemum, and then they'll make pictures using their own names. The K2 class will learn about our first principle by reading the big orange splot and creating their own unique house. Then they'll combine all of their houses into a friendly neighborhood. 3 to 5 will begin their new windows and mirrors curriculum. They'll be talking about how the world sees them versus who they truly are. And then they'll illustrate this by creating self-portraits. And the middle schoolers will be creating small trees at the direction of one of the middle schoolers. Once they've created their trees, they'll be building community with each other through some board games. Doesn't that sound fun? I also want to remind you that if you are not comfortable having your children here yet, we have Zoom story time at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. So make sure you look in for that. Now, more LFD news for everyone. You might have noticed as you walked in the door, there's a big, tall loom there, thanks to Derek Roundtree, who created it. The idea is that we want to weave our community back together. We haven't been had a chance to see the children. So the children and the adults, the people who don't come on Sunday mornings and the people who do, are invited to weave fabric into that loom. Right now, we have some donated fabric that Brandy Lemon's mother used this fabric to make masks at the beginning of the pandemic. But if you have special fabric you'd like to add to that loom, we would love to have your special fabric as well. And that will be set up for the next month or so, I think. And the other thing is the stuffy sleepover. Some of you may remember that last winter we had stuffed animals from some of our youngest and some of our oldest members who came on Friday before Valentine's and had all kinds of fun activities. So I encourage you, if you have a stuffed friend at home, to contact Brandy Lemon and she'll get you all registered for that. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And if you don't have a stuffed friend, you'll be able to watch their adventures online. So it's almost like you got to sleep over at the church. Some of us remember what that was like. So those are our announcements for today. Now it is time to greet one another. So those of you at home, if you will turn on your cameras and also write in the chat where you are joining us from, we're going to put the screen over. So everyone in the sanctuary can see you now. So wave to the people in the sanctuary. And we have Tommy from Binghamton, Stephen from Christiansburg, Joanne from Christiansburg, Helen from Newport in Giles, Anne is from Pulaski, Denise from Primrose Drive in Blacksburg, Jim and Sally from Ellet Valley, Ellen from Ellet Valley, Blacksburg, Fancy Gap, Highland Park, Blacksburg, Christiansburg and Freezing, Rio and Lily from Blacksburg, from Floyd, from Radford, another from Radford, from Christiansburg, Blacksburg, Shadow Lake, Mayor from India. I think you win our prize for the farthest distance, Mayor. So good to have you here. Dick is thawing from Thawing Woodbine in Blacksburg. All right, we are so glad you are here. So now you get to see who's in the sanctuary, who braved this cold sub-zero. Well, I guess it's not zero, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. So if we'll get the camera on the people, oops. There is Jared. You can wave to the people. Yes. I'm trying to be slow and steady. I'm getting better. And if you and those are smiling faces under those masks, I'm quite sure. All right. It is so good to be together this morning. Now I'll invite Earl up to help us create sacred space.
Please join me in reading the words on the screen as we light the chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words are written by Neil Gaiman. My New Year wish. I hope that in this year to come, you make mistakes. Because if you are making mistakes, then you are making new things, trying new things, learning, living, pushing yourself, changing yourself, changing your world. You're doing things you've never done before, and more importantly, you're doing something. So that's my wish for you and all of us, and my wish for myself. Make new mistakes. Make glorious, amazing mistakes. Make mistakes nobody's ever made before. Don't freeze. Don't stop. Don't worry that it isn't good enough or it isn't perfect, whatever it is, art or love or family or life. Whatever it is you're scared of doing, do it. Make your mistakes this new year and forever. Please join me now in the words of our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
And today we are finishing up our exploration of what it means to live with intention by considering living or intentionally making mistakes, being intentionally imperfect.
One way we fulfill our mission as UUs is collecting an offering, and every week our congregation shares half of that offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is Micah's Backpack, which works to address food insecurity for youth in 10 local schools by providing identified students with a backpack filled with 2 breakfasts, 2 lunches, 2 dinners, snacks, juice, and milk boxes, and an educational piece each Friday during the school year to take home for the weekend. This program is sponsored by St. Michael's Lutheran Church in Blacksburg. You may give online using the link in the chat or through the other ways listed on the screen. You will be able to give after the service as well. For those here at UUC who would like to give cash or check, there's a basket at the back of the sanctuary. Thank you all for your generosity. As we collect the offering, we will enjoy Jared playing Modern Romantic by Elena Katz-Chernin, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others. And for those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now I invite us into a mood of meditation. So settle yourself in your seat, wherever you are. Take a breath. Soften your shoulders. Soften your gaze. Maybe close your eyes. To be present to these words by Michael A. Schuller. Let us pause now to look inward, exploring, if we dare, the secret places where motives are made and intentions live. Beneath appearances, what kind of persons are we? Is the inner self congruent with the one that rejoices with friends, assists the infirm, comforts the crying child? No. As we take inventory and remember mistakes we have made, impure thoughts we have had, schemes we have hatched, we know that all is not right within. We are born to inconsistency, not purity. And conscience is a dubious guide that leads us stumbling along the path of virtue. We are all fallen, all self-condemned, from time after time. For time after time, we have succumbed to temptation and chosen a lesser good, betraying the truth of ourselves, the truth etched indelibly on our essential being. This, then, is our estate and our inescapable humanness. Let us recognize and not deny our imperfections. Forgive and not condemn ourselves.
May growing awareness of our mixed motives and morals increase our humility and make possible lives of greater sensitivity, sincerity, and serenity. Amen. And blessed be.
When the worship team discussed the topic of intention and imperfection, use the two words in a sentence, I found the idea both intriguing and perplexing. The practice of intentionally making mistakes. Stories were told of individuals who made a practice of making mistakes. For instance, a beloved uncle who purposely included 10 mistakes in a letter to family. To consider myself initiating an intentional practice of making mistakes seemed pretentious. Think of the tongue-in-cheek adage, I never made a mistake in my life. I thought I did once, but I was wrong. No, I know that I make mistakes all the time. I already invest a fair amount of effort trying to remedy or recover from the mistakes I make. Why on earth would I want to intentionally make them? Have you ever noticed that often when we're introduced to a new concept or a new word that's unfamiliar to us, then suddenly it seems to pop up everywhere? So has been the case with intention and imperfection. Where I've found them is in doing my own personal work on anxiety. What my online teachers seem to circle around to again and again is the intention of accepting imperfection. Tara Brach, widely published writer, psychotherapist, and mindfulness teacher, says this, what has helped me the most is to remember that imperfection is not our personal problem. It is a natural part of existing. We all get caught in wants and fears. We all act unconsciously. We all get diseased and deteriorate. Yet, when we relax about imperfection, we no longer lose our life moments in the pursuit of being different and in the fear of what is wrong. The renowned 7th century Zen master Sen Tiasan taught that true freedom is being without anxiety about perfection, imperfection. This means accepting our human existence and all of life as it is. In my quest to tame my own anxiety, another teacher has been researcher and writer Dr. Brené Brown. In fact, one of her books is titled The Gifts of Imperfection. A reviewer says this about the book. If I could sum up this book, I'd say Brown's advice boils down to this. You're screwed up, so am I. Let's go with it. And that's worth the price of admission if you can really absorb it. Beyond accepting my imperfections, Brené Brown wants me to know that there are actually gifts hidden inside of them. Brown sets out an authentic path called wholehearted living, living with your whole heart, accepting your whole self, imperfections and all, not living in shame. It's a liberating message. So there you have it. The words of Tara Brach, Brené Brown, and an unnamed blogger reviewer. liberation through the acceptance of imperfection. I can embrace that. I may not choose for myself an intention to purposely make mistakes, but I can set an intention to accept my mistakes, since heaven knows I'm going to make them. I'm going to make mistakes as I live each day, encountering other people's mistakes. And all of these imperfections can be opportunities to learn, grow, and challenge myself in healthy ways. I'm asking myself to accept that this is just the way it is. Don't be derailed. Forgive myself. Forgive others. And move on. Wow. Mighty aspirations in those words. The intention of accepting imperfection.
Amen.
Earl's intention to accept imperfection is indeed a lofty aspiration, especially the part about forgiving ourselves. Somehow it's easier for us to forgive other people, isn't it? I'm going to forgive myself for weirdness here. And yet we know that no one is perfect, that we all make mistakes. The centering quote on last week's order of service was a favorite song I used to sing to my middle school students. Everyone makes mistakes, so yes, they do. You recognize it? Big Bird from Sesame Street. Oh, that would have been the perfect centering quote for this week's service. I made a mistake. Oh, well. Earl found wisdom from the writings of Tara Brach and Brené Brown, which convinced her that accepting imperfection was a worthy endeavor. But I wanted to go one step further, to think about not just accepting mistakes, but making them intentionally. I'd heard about Persian rug weavers intentionally putting a flaw in their rugs, acknowledging that only Allah is perfect. I learned that Navajo rug weavers also leave a little imperfection along the borders in the shape of a line that's called a spirit line or spirit pathway that allows part of the weaver's spirit to exit the rug. And then I learned about the Japanese aesthetic of wabi-sabi, which is centered on accepting impermanence and imperfection. As a non-artist, it is good to know that some artists purposefully are imperfect in their art. We'll have to talk about that sometime, Sally. My research also surprisingly led me to the Harvard Business Review. It turns out that making deliberate mistakes is a strategy that's touted as a way to learn quickly whether the assumptions behind business decisions are accurate. Paul J.H. Schumacher and Robert E. Gunther cite an example from the telephone industry. They write, before the breakup of the Bell system, you remember that? U.S. telephone companies were permitted by law to ask for security deposits from a small percentage of subscribers. The companies used statistical models to decide which customers were most likely to pay their bills late and thus should be charged a deposit. But no one knew whether the models were right. So the Bell companies made a deliberate mistake. They asked for no deposit from nearly 100,000 new customers randomly selected from among those who were considered high risks. Surprisingly, quite a few paid their bills on time. As a result, the companies instituted a smarter screening strategy, which added millions to the Bell system's bottom line. Now, making the mistake of not charging a security deposit based on their statistical model led to huge financial gains. For our purposes, the biggest takeaway is not that deliberately making mistakes can be financially rewarding. I would not count on that. But that we can learn important information from them. John Cadell builds on the work of Schumacher and Gunther, suggesting, often when faced with a difficult task, we make a set of assumptions that dictate our actions. I'm not good enough to get that client, or I can't go to that event, it's too big time for me. He writes, we can sabotage ourselves before we even begin, afraid of failure or embarrassment. To tackle hard problems and to really stretch ourselves, sometimes we have to make a deliberate mistake. In other words, do the thing you think you can't do or you're not ready to do. Risk making a mistake or failing at something. You might fail. You go into it knowing that. But even if you do, you'll learn something in the process. And you might succeed. I think of people who apply for jobs that they're really not qualified for, just so they get the experience of having the interview. And Cadell cites a woman who had never even watched an LPGA golf tournament, deliberately risking the mistake of entering it, and she qualified. Risk making a mistake, doing the thing that you will fail at doing. That's easier said than done. I struggle with perfectionism, having been raised by parents who themselves were perfectionists. And the idea of trying something that I assume I'll fail at is really, really scary to me. And when I was an intern minister, my teaching pastor helped me realize that I was afraid of trying something new unless I was pretty darn certain that I would succeed. But it's hard to succeed if you're afraid to try. One of the lessons of the pandemic for me is that I am capable of doing things that I never imagined I could do. When I first tried making videos for worship, like the one I made today of the choir song, it literally took me hours and hours and hours to match the song with the lyrics and the pictures or the video, and my poor husband can tell you how painful that was for me and for him. Sorry. But in the process of teaching myself how to make videos, I learned how to use some of the technology, and making lots of mistakes along the way, I've really gotten to enjoy making those videos. I did spend probably more than an hour making that video, but oh my gosh, I get to listen to those voices over and over again and see those beloved faces. The same is true of lots of other things that we have had to do to keep this congregation together in the past 2 years. This fall, when we started doing dual platform services, we had plenty of technical difficulties, but every single glitch became an opportunity for us to learn how to do it better. And after a particularly glitchy Sunday, Lucas came over and offered to help out. Just think if we hadn't risked making those mistakes and gone the safer route that a lot of congregations do, of just making a video and putting it up on YouTube, instead of gathering together at home and in this space. It wouldn't be the same, would it? And without those obvious errors, Lucas probably wouldn't have been moved to volunteer to help. And he has helped us up our game significantly. So see, making mistakes means that people will offer to help. Now you might be thinking, wait a minute, you meant to make all those mistakes? Not really. But we certainly risked making mistakes. None of us really knew whether we could pull off the dual platform services, but it was worth trying so that we could be together on Sunday morning. We could see each other for those bright moments of the greeting each other, and we could hear about each other's lives. It's worth a few mistakes. Looking back, considering the times things didn't work as opportunities to learn how to do better, actually saved this perfectionist a lot of angst. But most important, though, is that this congregation made it okay for us to make mistakes. Your patience and your grace gave us the confidence to try what we hadn't tried before and helped us to get past the mistakes that we made along the way. Looking forward, I wonder what mistakes might be worth making. Psychologist Barbara Markway suggests that people with social anxiety can overcome some of their fears by intentionally making mistakes. She listed 26 different mistakes one might choose to make in public, from calling someone the wrong name or asking inappropriate questions in a store, tripping or bumping into something, things that they're afraid of doing. But doing them on purpose takes away the fear and helps us realize that most people don't notice our mistakes. And if they do, we can handle it. Even those without social anxiety could benefit from making mistakes to help us get past the inertia caused by perfectionism. Amy Lutkin writes, "The urge to be perfect can prevent you from taking action. You don't share creative projects that aren't 100% ready, or you're afraid to ask someone out if you're not sure this is exactly right. So you just don't. If you're feeling stymied by this need to never screw up, try making a mistake on purpose." She cites an intentionally putting a typo in a work email as the kind of purposeful mistake that might bust down the restricting walls of perfectionism. So, what area of your life could you make a deliberate mistake in? Or at least risk making a mistake? Is there something that you think you're not quite ready to do? Something that you've always said, "I'll do that someday," but someday never comes? I wouldn't be here if I had listened to that voice that said, "Oh, you could never be a minister." What is that thing for you? I love the words Earl opened our service with from Neil Gaiman. I wish that I had heard them when I was younger, but I wonder if I would have taken them to heart. Now, with the knowledge that even the Harvard Business Review recommends making deliberate mistakes, I can hear them with new ears. Can you? He writes, "I hope that in this year to come, you make mistakes. Because if you are making mistakes, then you are making new things, trying new things, learning, living, pushing yourself, changing your world." You're doing things you've never done before, and more importantly, you're doing something. So that's my wish for you and all of us, and my wish for myself. Make new mistakes. Make glorious, amazing mistakes. Make mistakes nobody's ever made before. Don't freeze, don't stop, don't worry that it isn't good enough or it isn't perfect, whatever it is. Art or love or work or family or life or a video, which was, by the way, imperfect. You might have noticed the timing was off a little bit. Whatever it is you are scared of doing,
do it. In the week ahead, I invite you to find the deliberate mistake you want to intentionally make. Think about making it possible for those you love to make mistakes too. It's so much easier when we have a community that will support us, even and especially when we make mistakes. I know we can go on. We extinguish our chalice, but not the warmth of this community. We need the warmth right now. Let's carry it in our hearts until we are together again. Amen, and blessed be.